church, and you may be seated.
One of the most haunting questions that I know that the church must face and answer is simply, do we care enough about the souls of men, women, boys and girls, as does Satan? Because I know he's working. And I know that he's out there. And I know that he's that roaring lion seeking to whom he may devour. I know that what he's up to. But sometimes I wonder what the church is up to. Will we take a stand? Will we decide to engage? Will we get into the game, only it's not a game? We know that it really is a fight. And see, if we choose to follow Jesus, then it is inevitably going to mean that we are going to be doing battle with evil and with Satan. There is no doubt about it. But Christ not only offers us his power, he offers us a spiritual armor, which if we put it on, will protect us from head to toe. Now, Paul, it isn't much different than Jesus in this respect in some of his writings. He often drew analogies from common everyday things that at least the people back then would recognize. I mean, many of the stories of Jesus are just that. They're stories that people say, yeah, I understand what he's saying because they were living it. Now, some of those stories, I mean, we struggle with because we don't live in that society or that time anymore, but it wouldn't have been foreign to them. Well, Paul, in taking this analogy and talking about spiritual armor, of course, he compared it to the armor that a Roman soldier would wear. And it became instantly familiar, not only to them, but it was to Paul, because you got to remember, Paul was in prison and in all probability chained to one of these soldiers that he simply used as he wrote to the Ephesians. So in Ephesians chapter 6, we find these words about this battle that we're in. We find these words about the armor that is there to protect us. Chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And that's the only way, folks. That's, to me, is what holds this all together. If you take out that verse, it's in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, Paul has already talked to the Ephesians about the power that was available to them. And Paul said it is the same power, the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. He said, that's the power at our disposal. So there's plenty of power. He said, so put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints. Look, the very first thing that Paul mentioned was that we needed to wrap ourselves with the belt of truth. It's only in God's truth that we will be able to make our stand. Now, the belt that Paul talked about that the Roman soldier wore isn't like our belts today. A little different, quite a bit different. In fact, it was the belt that was used in order to hold the breastplate in place. It was the belt that was used to hold the armor, the sword, in its place. It was critical then to a Roman soldier to have his belt on and to put it on first. So the truth is critical for us. We must be wrapped in it, because it's only as we're wrapped in truth are we genuinely ready. The truth is the centerpiece then of our armor. But these days, the truth is pretty hard to come by, especially in our age of relativity and subjectivity. If I think it's true, then it must be true. If I think it is not, then it isn't. I mean, the truth then often depends on, well, who am I talking to? It's kind of like the little boy that went up and asked a couple of umpires how they could call balls and strikes. He was small and had just seen his first game. He said, how do you know what a ball and strike is? Well, the first umpire said, The strike is from the shoulder to the knees. And he said, I do my best to call him as I see him. I do the best that I can. But the other umpire said, son, a pitch isn't anything until I call it. If I say it's a strike, it's a strike. If I say it's a ball, it's a ball. Well, I got to tell you, there's too many people going through life living it like that umpire called balls and strikes. But we don't get to decide what's truth, folks. Our truth comes to us through the Word of God. Our truth comes to us as what God says is true and right and just. We don't get to make that call. It also seems when it comes to the truth, well, it's hard to tell it. I don't know about you, but I know some people that I don't know. I don't think they could tell the truth if they had to. I mean, they just can't say it. It just doesn't come out. And if I'm honest, even with myself, how often do we find it easier sometimes to stretch the truth than to simply tell the truth because it seems a little easier to us? Not only is it hard to tell sometimes it's hard to hear. You know the old analogies, the alcoholic and the addict. I mean, they don't want to hear the truth, and so they have the intervention in order that you're going to shake the truth into them. Sometimes parents don't want to hear the truth about their children. Many today do not want to hear the truth that outside of Jesus Christ, they're going to end up in hell because He is the only way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father. They don't want to hear it, but that is the truth. And many churches today do not want to hear that if they're not following Jesus and reaching out to the people in their community and sharing His love, then they have stepped out of the will of God and they are under the judgment of God. Truth. Truth, it may be hard to find, hard to listen to, and hard to tell, but it's the truth that we must wrap around ourselves. Jesus said this, if you hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free because God's truth always leads us to God. See, when Pilate was talking to Jesus, you know, right before the crucifixion, and during this exchange, at least in the Gospel of John, Pilate asked a wonderful question to Jesus. He said, what is truth? What is truth? But the problem is, Pilate didn't stick around in order to let Jesus answer the question. For us, again, we know that the Bible is full of truth. But here is one truth that needs to stay very near and dear us all the time. Paul put it this way, said, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. See, you're a sinner, and you're a sinner, and you're a sinner, and up there in the balcony, you're sinners, and I'm a sinner too. There is no doubt about it. We don't have to wonder about it. You are this morning. You can know it, for there is none righteous, no, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, Adam and Eve may have got this mess all started, but we've jumped right in. We've jumped right in with both feet. And we sin. And one theologian said, you know, he described sin as self-trust instead of God trust. Self-reliance instead of God reliance. Self-love instead of love of God. And it doesn't really matter how we define sin this morning. We can all know that we are guilty of doing it. And the truth is, if we claim to be without sin, we simply deceive ourselves. And the truth is not within us. And unfortunately, the truth gets even worse. Sinners sin. But the worst part is this, God hates sin. The writer of Hebrews said it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And outside of Jesus Christ, that is exactly what we do. We fall in the hands of the living God, unredeemed and unforgiven. And God hates sin. He doesn't hate us. But He hates what sin has done to us. He hates the fact that when God said, here is my grace, and all you have to do is embrace my grace, you come to me and I will forgive you. He hates the fact that so many people walk away and never open their lives to Him. God hates what sin has done to us, how that it has destroyed us. And the truth is, the wages of sin, what we deserve is death. Sin keeps us from God. It's so destructive and so powerful and so blinding that many people love their sin more than they're willing to love God. And even as Christians, sometimes must we not confess that sometimes we don't hate sin nearly as much as we should? Sometimes I find myself asking to be forgiven again when I told God that the last time He forgave me, I wouldn't do it again, and then I did. Somehow, I just don't think that we hate sin like we ought to hate sin. The truth is, we are all sinners by thoughts, words, and actions. We have violated ourselves and God, and we deserve hell. But do not miss the truth this morning. A trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance is this, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. See, that is a good truth. That is the truth the angels announced that day at His birth. He said, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you, and He is Christ the Lord. See, there are some good people out there today. Back, we go all the way back to Peter and Paul. You can find good people that have done a lot of good things, but they can't save you. Only Jesus can be the Savior. I've already said it. He's the only way, the only truth, the only life. Jesus is the only one because He was the sinless and perfect beloved Son of God. God made Him who had no sin to become sin for us that we could be covered by His righteousness. It was Jesus that was pierced for our transgressions. He was the one bruised for our iniquities. He paid the price of our sin. It's by His wounds that we are healed this morning, and only His wounds. This is a trustworthy saying. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And the truth is this. There's not many ways to God. There is but the one. You know, good ethics just won't cut it. Being a morally good person and doing good things as best you can won't get you there. You cannot follow other religions. That will not get you there. The truth is, there's only one place to find forgiveness. Now, what's interesting, I was reading this a couple of weeks ago. There is this very large Hindu event. And I know that I'm going to mess up the name. It's called the Kumbh Mela, I believe. Anyway, it's a 55-day festival that all the Hindus go to. And part of that is they go to three different rivers and they wash in these rivers as a spiritual cleansing for all of their sin. And we're not talking just a few. We're talking like 40, 50 million people do this, according to their own website. And they go and they wash. I mean, that's like the equivalent of nearly a third of the population of the United States of America going to a town about the tenth of the size of St. Louis and all bathing in the Mississippi River in order to have their sins forgiven. I mean, it's a huge event. And they go and they wash in the Ganges River, which is one of the most polluted rivers in all the world. Mere contact with the water is known to dysentery and cholera and hepatitis. Think of the irony of that, isn't it? They're trying to wash their sins away in one of the most polluted places in all the world. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there's only one place to get the sins washed away. And that's at a place called Calvary. See, Pilate asked the great question, what is truth? Well, I'll tell you what the truth is. The truth is this. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The truth is that God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. This is the belt of truth, then, that Paul said that we need to wrap around ourselves. I don't know why a lot of things are the way that they are today, but I know this. I know that these truths about who we are and about Christ and His salvation, these are the things that gives us stability and peace in a world where there is none outside of Him. We have the truth. And we stand not only for the truth, but we stand with the truth because we stand with Jesus. And so with the belt of truth wrapped around us, we're ready to truly be the church. We're ready to start putting our lives on the line, to rise above, to engage evil and all the lies of Satan. Yes, we're all sinners, that's true. But it's also true that in Jesus Christ, our sins have been forgiven and we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. The gospel or the good news is that Jesus forgives and saves, but there is a time limit. Warren Wiersbe, in his book, Meet Yourself in the Psalms, told a story about the Wild West, the frontier, about there was one day a young boy was in a wagon and somehow the horses got spooked and started running away wildly and no one was in there except the young boy. And so this other man saw what was going on, jumped on his horse, catches up to the wagon, and at the risk of his own life, you know, you've seen the cowboy movies, right? He jumps from his horse onto the middle of the other horses and whoa, and he saves the boy. Now, according to the story, the boy grows up to be a terrible criminal. And one day, he's standing before the judge, and the judge happened to be that very young man. Now he's much older, but he was the man that had saved him all those years ago. And, of course, the criminal's thinking, oh, that's great. And so he pleads for mercy. He said, you know, you saved me once, save me again. And the punchline of the story was simply this. The judge said that day, years ago I was your savior, but today you stand before me and I'm your judge. I got to tell you, today's the day of salvation, and today Christ opens his arms and says, today I'm your Savior. But there's coming a time where we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stand before God Almighty, and on that day, he's going to say, I am simply going to honor the decision you made to reject me all those times years ago. And as the righteous judge, he will give us what we have chosen. Satan cannot stop us because he cannot stop the truth. So we need to buckle up. We need to wrap the truth around us because I'm going to tell you, the ride's going to get bumpy. Because it's a fight. All right? People get bloodied and bruised in fights. Paul said, it's a fight. So buckle up. Suit up and engage. Because this is truth. The truth is to open our lives to Jesus and follow him as salvation, but to reject him as damnation. The truth is there is no time to waste because people are dying and people need to hear about Jesus today. The truth is Jesus has sent us to love others and to tell others about the truth of who he is and what he has done. May we wrap those truths around us. Because they hold everything else in place that we're about to do. Lord, this morning we bow before you. And we do come and we know that we're sinners and we've blown it so many times. And Lord, we just thank you that your grace and mercy is beyond us. But here this morning, Lord, I pray that your truth, Lord, would penetrate each of our hearts and our lives. And that as we come before you, that we will not let anything keep us from seeking your forgiveness today. We won't let anything keep us from being afraid to truly commit our lives to you. So Lord, help us to come to Calvary that your blood might wash us white as snow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And the truth is this. This moment, this very moment is a moment where we all have to make a choice about Jesus. Please stand as we sing.
Invite the church to change the closing number to number 330. After such a powerful message on the choice of truth, and that is about Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, as we join in singing all three verses of this hymn of invitation, as a Christian, you're girding yourself with truth. But if you're here without Jesus Christ, dear friend, you need the truth of that saving grace, and we invite you to come to this sinner's altar's prayer and hear personally in public accept Christ as your personal Savior. As you come, the pastor or someone else will come and just share with you and make you certain that you leave here knowing that you are born again. So if you're here today, you're trusted in something else other than Jesus as your personal Savior, having repented of your sin, we invite you to come as we sing 330. As God's Spirit speaks to you, please come and obey His truth. Today is the day of salvation. Just as these have come and perhaps have a burdened heart for someone they know who is not saved, perhaps you have a burdened heart today for someone who you know is not saved. They may not be here today. And you'd like to come to this altar and say, Lord, help me to be that witness to bring them to Christ. We invite you to come in their behalf. Your coming can't save them, but your coming can intercede for them. Will you come as we sing if you have that burdened heart? Yes.
Let's pray. Lord, today your Spirit has come. You've visited us. You've touched us. You've challenged us. And Lord, in this moment, we simply lay our lives open to you and ask that your sweet and precious truth, Lord, would just wrap our lives, making us bold and courageous, that we might live out our faith before all, that all might know who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before the doxology, let me say this is a closing benedictory song. If you're here, you're still not knowing Christ as Savior, and for some reason you just didn't have that courage to come, listen, folks, come to talk to me. Come to talk to the pastor, our youth pastor. Let us meet with you and bring you to a saving knowledge of Christ. And the next Sunday, you can make it a public commitment. This is so important because eternity is a long time. We don't want anyone to miss heaven because of some missed opportunity. Joining together, let's sing the great benedictory song, In My Heart, Lord, Be In My Life Be Glorified. Till we meet again, God bless you, and you are dismissed.